Good morning, good afternoon. Here we are, another great session today, another episode with DX Talks, episode 234. This is our talk. This is the digital leadership that we are trying to really showcase in our region in Middle East and how they can be part of this future, which is super bright and in the same time, super fast. So without further ado, let me welcome Michael, our guest today. Michael, welcome to DX Talks platform, the digital leaders platform.
Thank you very much, Rudy. Hope you're doing well.
Excellent. I would like you to introduce yourself a bit for our audience so that they know who is Michael.
Sure. My name is Michael Anderson. I am from Denmark. I am the CEO of Eurotech ME. Yeah, and I've been in the UAE for 16 years now.
16 years. So you're already a resident now.
I feel like it. I feel like this is my home. People talk me, are you ever going to, or people ask me, am I ever going to move back? I don't think so. Not if I don't have to. I love this place.
That's the Dubai vibe indeed. Exactly. Michael, can you tell me more about Eurotech ME? What is it focusing on?
Yeah, sure. So Eurotech ME, we are a IT and AV company. So we do everything from setting up the infrastructure, networks, you know, computers. We do everything like support contracts. So the classic issues, I can't print, to setting up complex networks as well for big companies. We also do the IT AV fit out. So someone needs a new office and they need the structured cabling, the CCTV, the access control, anything, need audiovisual speakers, LED walls. We do that as well. And again, that goes from very small offices all the way up to you know, colleges or campuses. We've designed museums. We've done many different things. So it ranges, but it is an IT and AV.
Indeed. So what really inspired you to start that journey, especially in the UAE and focus on the Middle East? Can you share your vision, your mission behind Eurotech?
Yeah, sure. So started back in 2009. I used to work with IT security. And at that time, I was in the UAE, and I thought the quality of the IT support was lacking. And every time I needed help as well, it wasn't very good. People would show up late and, you know, things just wouldn't work. So at that time I decided to start my own company. And, you know, I come from a family of people who started their own businesses. My dad had his own business. So I moved down here, started my own company. And ever since then, it's been a hectic ride, but it's been a fun ride. And we've been growing ever since. And I think the focus has been from day one on delivering quality above anything else.
Very, very good. I think, yeah, being an entrepreneur, it has something to drive this. How do you...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and this is where I think you mentioned challenges where you couldn't find it. So here we go, let me go and solve it. So what were the biggest challenges you faced while establishing Eurotech ME in the Middle East? And how did you overcome them? Can you share any specific turning points that really influenced that company trajectory?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been a wild ride. I think, you know, you start with nothing. It was just me, and in the beginning, obviously, it's very hard because you are the CEO, you're also the marketing person, but you're also the technician. You're also the finance person. You're everything. So obviously that's tough, but it's fun. It's
a big learning curve.
It's a steep learning curve because you have to learn everything. And from there, you know, you start growing. And I had no experience in running a company. I had no experience in hiring people and doing anything. So my first order I ever did, I didn't make any money because I wasn't fully aware about the rules with VAT it was Jabalali tax, getting it out of the customs. And so I wasn't aware of the rules. I make mistakes constantly. And these mistakes obviously stuck with me. So I learned from them. But you know, there's been so many different things where it's been, we used to do purely IT. So we were very much focused on just doing the IT support and the network and the infrastructure. And what happened was at some point we had a client who called us and we had a, they said, look, we think we're going to have some issues with our network. There's a lot of flashing lights in the server room. Can you come and do an audit? And we went down, we had a meeting with them and discussed what we could do. And they said, okay, we will get back to you. And I think the next day in the morning, I got a call from the CEO of the company saying, can you come down right now? Because we have a complete failure, we think, of everything. So we went down there and everything in this company had been wiped. The backups, the finances, the emails, everything was gone. And it was just, it was a rather big company, over 100 of staff. I think there probably were about 200 staff. So for us, it was just, you know, put your head down and we helped them get up. Emails got up the same day. We did a lot of stuff to help them and we managed to get them up and running. And from there, we designed a brand new infrastructure and they were in the fit out industry. So they were doing offices, they were doing buildings. And they asked us if it's something we would like to help them with. And that's how the whole other side of the business started, the fit out IT AV part of it, because we only used to focus on support and network infrastructure. Now we're doing CCTV, access control, audiovisual, all these things. So that was one thing that led, you know, it just flipped the company over. We just went from doing the small stuff to now that part of the company is actually bigger than the IT part itself. We did that, obviously, that was a great success. And then a couple years ago, we won a very big, massive project in Saudi Arabia that kind of projected us to a new category almost. We worked with a very big company there. We built a very, very, very nice academy and they were very, very happy. And from there, we set up in Saudi and that has just been an amazing journey as well. So it's you know, it's funny, I think it was yesterday, I said, you're just one decision away from something fantastic or something horrible. And you just never know what that is. You know, there was just one phone call picking up in the morning. We went down, we sorted out their IT and all of a sudden they've been our biggest client ever since.
Interesting. That's the, you know, how business actually flows, where tomorrow you wake up, but you don't really know what's the trajectory of that company and then what's the surprise.
Yeah,
and then exactly. All of a sudden, you know, if you haven't had your partners in the right way, and this is where I'm going to ask you to briefly, you know, talk about your ecosystem and the partners that you engage in, because I think without partnerships and partners, things are tough.
Correct. Yeah, so we pride ourselves of quality. That's the one thing that we deliver. It's not always about, of course, it's about money at the end, but it's about delivering something that we could be proud of. And I think for us, that is why we've grown as well. You know, the people we work with are repetitive. A lot of times, you know, it's a new project, but the clients that we work with are the same. And a lot of the people that we deal with now in Saudi Arabia as well are clients in the UAE, because for us, it's just as we built this partnership with them, it's not about, well, you need to send me a purchase order for this 200 dirham cable. It's just like, we'll get it done. You know, don't worry about it. And the CEO is coming tomorrow for a surprise meeting. We need something like, no, don't forget. We'll do it. Don't worry about anything. We'll come. We'll sort everything out for you. And that's been the way we've been running the company the entire time. We understand things are complex and sometimes it's slow. And we don't want to do that. We want to be the opposite. You know, we risk it instead. And if you need our help, we'll give you our help. And it's a two-way street. You know, we get repetitive work. We treat clients with respect. They treat us with respect, and we help each other.
Yeah, and all of that, again, talking about a little bit of leadership. You've been into mentorship and internship. Is it something important, or why is it something important to implement in that aspect and in your company?
So there's a couple of reasons. For me personally, when I was studying IT in school, we were told that there is no internship in the entire Copenhagen area where I'm from. You cannot get an internship. And instead, when you had to do internship, they would do these fake internships at the school where you would just sit in the school and do some work there. And I wasn't satisfied with that. So I went out and I think I hunted companies down to the point where people got very angry. I was calling daily and I found a company and it was an IT security company. And they gave me an internship and it helped me learn. I mean, the basics of Eurotech is based off my time as an intern because what you learn in school is great, but real life, real work experience,
You cannot beat it.
it's completely different. Exactly. You can't put that in a school and expect it to be the same. It is just not because people are different. People are motivated by different things. Clients are motivated by different things. People treat you differently. It's just you can't replicate that. So for me, it was very important to give back as well. You know, I was lucky enough to find an internship, so I want to give an internship to people as well and help people out. And not only that, of course, we see nowadays, specifically here in UAE and Saudi, the youth are they're so curious, and that's the one thing that really have. Nowhere in the world have I seen the youth being so curious. When you go to a trade show and people want to touch, they want to understand, touch the button, see how things work. They want to know. And we want to find those people. We want to bring them into the company. You know, we want to hire the best people as well. And I believe that starts in the youth. So at the same time, they can support us, but we can support them with a job. So I think in order for us, obviously, to grow the country and grow the economy, we have to support the youth. It's very important. So I think every company should take that responsibility on. They really should.
And you've been 16 years there in Dubai, and you've seen the changes that's happening in the region, especially right now with the war of domination of technology, as we can see. I've been into the future of museum, and when you see all of this gigantic strategies to the future, it's like, oh my God. And then you go to Saudi, it's the same. There's a lot of visions, and then if we want to focus on one of the visions, which is the Saudi Arabian Vision 2030, is there any specifics or any initiatives that you are undertaking to support that vision? What's the role of Eurotech ME in involving in that context of national goals, whether it's UAE or Saudi Arabia or any other regional player?
Look, I don't think like you said, everyone has visions. You know, visions are great. It's the delivery of it that's the complex part. Everyone can have grand visions, but we need to be able to deliver it as well. And I think the countries that you mentioned, they are enabling people to do that, which is why it's so good. It's the same for Saudi as well. We're doing the same as we're doing in the UAE. For us, it's all about the youth. You know, we want to bring the youth up to a standard with IT for our side, for IT. We want to bring them up and showcase them the opportunities, get a for them a place where they can go and experiment and try stuff and see how it works, develop their skills, and be independent. You know, come to a country or sorry, a company, and test your skills and see what you can do. For us, that's more what we're trying to do. We're trying to Our route to this is the youth. That's what we've kind of participated in, and what we will participate in is enabling the youth instead.
I think you're spot on. Youth is the future key of anything we want to really touch. How would you
Yes,
describe
I agree.
your leadership? I think you have a unique leadership. Not many actually have it. So that's really cool. But how do you describe it, and how it has influenced the culture of Eurotech ME, and how do you balance those strategic oversights with hands-on management?
Yeah, so look, that's another thing that I've had to learn, right, by doing is the leadership part. If you've never been a manager, you just get thrown into it. It's a scary task. For us, we are very much, people are free to do a lot of different things, and we're not very strict when it comes to a lot of things, as long as you do your job. But for us, it's always been very, very important that we treat people like family. And we have a lot of people who've been working here now over the years. And I don't think I would ever in my wildest imagination think that we've had the things happen to people that they called in the morning and we need to help them. And you almost become this father figure where people call you and like, look, what do I do? And you have to help people. And I think we've grown that in the company now, and we focus a lot on taking our staff out for events and entertainment and kind of really do some bonding with everyone, whether it's people shoot me in the head with paintballs, which seems to be a success every time.
They love it, I'm sure.
they do. Some people get their aggressions out, I can tell you that, 100%. You're supposed to raise your hand and they stop shooting. That doesn't happen. But whether it's go-kart or we do many different things. We take everyone to water parks as well. We go out every last Friday at the end of the month. We go out and we do something together as well. We've had cinema nights as well. We try and have a company where everyone is family. And it's funny how one of the best things to see is when you have people from different cultures, they sit and they discuss things, but it's just in a fantastic way. You know, people just discuss whether it is things like religion or the way they do food or whatever, but it's with such a respectful way, which is just fantastic, because whatever is happening around the world, the UAE is just such a place where you just have proved everyone wrong. Everyone can coexist. Everyone can be happy. And it's the same in our company now. We have people from a lot of different countries, but everyone is just, we're family, coexist. We're friends. Yeah. Yeah. And it's...
That's the human side. That's the human element of the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's good to see. And we love it. So, of course, don't get me wrong. We work hard as well. People work long hours and, you know, but we take care of people.
That's a safe place, so everybody feels cool. So you've got the right talent, making them, you know, produce even better.
And under COVID, for example, we didn't fire anyone at all. We lost a lot of money, but there was kind of a principle. You know, we found out what can people survive on, what can we lower people's salary on. And we had a meeting. We say, if we do this, can everyone be okay? And everyone is like, yeah. And we voted for it. And that's what we did. We didn't fire anyone. Everyone was here. And I think people were very, very happy because, you know, people lost their jobs. It was impossible to find a job during COVID. So, that is also one of those times where we've proven that we don't just talk about it. We are actually about, you know, the family.
That's where you got the main pillar of culture, right? And let's talk about the future a little bit. What are your future plans for Eurotech ME, and what projects are you in? What's the company? Where do you see the company actually in the next 5 years or 10 years? You woke up last time, you know, you went into Saudi Arabia project, and then here we go, you're into another field, another game. How do you plan ahead of that industry trends and the continuous, you know, drive of innovation?
Yeah, so look, the future is bright, interesting. I think we have a lot of projects in the pipeline. Some are very, very exciting. We're already on one project down Saudi, which I don't think I can mention names, but it's something that everyone has pretty much heard about, and we're helping them build their new office there. So that's very, very exciting. So yeah, I mean, onwards and upwards. There's a lot of stuff happening. I think for us, we just we need to make sure also we work with the right people that that get our concept as well, about how we deliver. You know, like I said, one of the things that we're not the cheapest, we don't want to be. We want to be the people that you know you can trust. You know we will deliver, and we will deliver. So the future, look, there's a lot of stuff happening. We are now looking at going into other countries as well in the Middle East. Just trying to figure out, you know, the legalities. How do you set it up? How do you structure it? And we have a few plans like that, and then we got a few other plans, which is completely in a different category. But again, I can't talk about that. But it's very exciting.
I'm excited to see that progress, and. You know, we deal with a lot of entrepreneurs and startups and professionals that are looking to be like you, all right? And especially in the AV sector. So how do they prepare, or how they want to prepare through those challenges and opportunities in the field? What's your advice for them to focus on?
Look, the one thing which I say is, you know, it's not over until you say it's over and don't give up. And I can tell you, I have been so close to giving up so many times. It is so incredibly hard to have your own company and start your own company. And I think, you know, Instagram and all these people, they glorify it. You have all these people, these fake entrepreneurs who make it look like everything is easy. It's not. It is so hard and it's so stressful. And again, it comes back to things like, the biggest challenge in the UAE or anywhere else is payment, having people paying you on time. You know, you should be wildly successful, but your bank account says something else. And that puts stress on you when people don't pay you on time. So it's just, I just lived it this way, you know, just one more day, just take it as it comes. And again, with that mentality, is just, you're just one decision, one phone call, one client, one something from achieving something unbelievable. And it could be you could have the worst day, you know, where you think it's over, you're done, like 100%. I've been convinced many times that was it. I'm sitting at home thinking, what do I do? And then something happens. And then it's almost like, I don't know, a miracle. And you just don't know. Like I said, you're just one phone call away from something fantastic. So stick it out. Keep going. And I would also say, surround yourself with people that understand, you know, how it is to start a company, and people who have done it before. I, for example, I invited a lot of very successful, very rich people out for lunch, and almost everyone said yes, like random people. I'm like, I just want to hear how you did it. And they're like, yeah, of course, let's go for lunch. So I've had lunch with some very, very high up influential people, and it was just by a LinkedIn message or an email. And I think that helped as well. You surround yourself with people. People that build companies are a different kind of people. There's something about it. I can't put my finger on it, but people that have done something like that, they're different.
Yeah. And I think you cracked a small code, which is, I'm finalizing my book for a while now, but it's not finishing for obvious reasons. I have a chapter on, you know, knock and I shall respond, and doors shall open, because usually entrepreneurs are afraid to ask, or people in general are afraid to ask. They, in their mind, they shut down that possibility. Oh, you know, can I reach out to you? No, he's too big. He's, you know, he's too famous. He's whatever. Yeah. And then you actually don't ask. So all of those initiatives die, you know, in your heart, in your mind, before even asking. And then why not give it a shot? And I think this is a super interesting aspect that you mentioned. Ask. You're going to get a no, maybe. Course.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, when you ask, people love to tell the story. They really do. And at some point when you sit there, I remember, for example, when I had a tough time at some point, it was very hard. And I read the book, Shoe Dog by Phil Knight about Nike or Nike. And he also just talks about how close he was to, that was it, like Nike's over. And when you read, you know, $1 billion company have been to the verge of it's over, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, they made it, so why can I not? You know, it's just these small little things. And then you meet people, you go for lunch with people, and they sit there and you get an idea and they say something and you just, oh, that makes perfect sense. So it is, you're 100% true. Just ask, speak to people, go out for, invite them to a business lunch somewhere. It's not that much, you know. That it's a great, it's a brilliant idea.
Amazing. Thank you, Michael. I think you shared amazing insights today. And big thanks to our viewers as well for tuning in. You can watch the recording. Please do like it and share it. I will put some information and contact information down below in the description, so you can reach out to Michael if you have any questions. Let me say, you're one of the few people that I enjoyed really talking to, just because one of the major parts of everything I think we're doing in this life is connecting, is the people part. And then I think you have, nobody has aced it, I'm not just gonna say, but I think you've doing an excellent effort. So that, you know, we don't, because there's always room for improvement in anything we do.
Of course,
we're human. We're not there. We try as much as we can, but at least you have the right mentality and the right mindset to move thank forward you. And then get all of those people all together to come in.
Yes.
Michael, yes. Thanks again. I don't know if you have any last words before we close the day, and then I'll leave it up to you.
No, look, I'll just say thank you very much for this. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And again, people want to reach out, feel free to reach out.
With that, I'd like to say thank you and see you within
thank you
next episode for sure.
Thank you very much. Thank you.